It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warm in here, buddy.
Why don't you come on in.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Hey. Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget. Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Fridays are off to a good start.
That's good shit right there.
Got a lot to get to in the final 2 hours of our week. Some more Big Ten audio from college football. What did Jed Fish have to say? Kurt Cignetti is certainly talking that talk and walking that walk. And, man, why wouldn't you if you won a national title at Indiana?
Yeah.
So we got some of that to play for. I got some other tidbits out of the National Football League. We were in the middle, though, of talking about the Blazer Arena deal. And a couple things on this just to clarify, because one of the biggest frustrations I have is when people, you know, tune in, but maybe you haven't heard the full scope of a conversation. You get a text like this. I support the Blazers. It doesn't surprise me you guys support the crazy city leaders who haven't done anything to successfully keep big companies from moving out. First off,
you literally have never listened to the show.
Let's take a big scope
opinion.
Picture
okay.
thing. And that's fine.
Yeah.
If you've listened to the entire conversation, and this has been a very lengthy and long-term conversation, we have been incredibly critical of the city. I think the idea, and we literally talked about this yesterday, of Steve Novick coming out and threatening the lawsuit when that was unnecessary. You hold that in your back pocket if the team leaves. It just created this kind of retreat to your corners vibe from both sides. The whole point on the taking a side was on yesterday. And if you watched or read any content from the coverage of it yesterday, the Blazers are arguing over this lawsuit thing, which, again, only comes up if the team is to leave. And the idea that the city should just simply give that up to enter into better negotiations, that's the only leverage play the city has in all of this.
It's also unnecessary. So I was talking about this with Patrick of, like, because he has this counter behind us that he does the days without bad news. And
we're at three right now.
And he texted me yesterday, it's going to three. And I said, was today bad or good? And he had just said, council looks bad. I didn't think Blazers did. And I had seen most of the stuff that I had missed. And I said, you don't think the Blazers did? And he said, I thought they were fine. I said, the city guaranteed they wouldn't sue, and they still won't give up on this lawsuit business. And he said, previous administration, who trusts anyone guarantee? And this is just where I will fundamentally disagree. Who's leveraged in this situation? Who's leveraged?
Not even close.
The city's leveraged.
Not even close.
So why, what would they get out of lying about this? You can say, well, a word versus putting it pen to paper is totally different. I understand that argument, but they want to get the deal done.
Yeah.
The takeaway yesterday, whether you like the city council, hate the city council, think Portland can never be saved, like to people that text in when hearing 2 minutes of a conversation, this is the context. The city wants to get the deal done. There's no benefit to them going against their own word, and the mayor himself made it abundantly clear they're not interested in that. They want to start negotiating.
Yeah.
They want to give them the term sheet, and they want to move on from that. So it's, to me, it's not about being pro city council or pro Blazers. You know, there can be context in between this where you say, man, Dundon and the Blazers look like a bunch of jackasses right now because of citing this, which is a lie, or this, which already existed. And you can also say, dude, the minute Tom Dundon bought the team, I'm not going at the media reporters. They can write and report on who Tom Dundon is. The minute he bought the team, the city council should have come out with Keith Wilson, opened their arms, and said, it's an old building. We're renovating. Welcome to Portland. It's time to change stuff.
Yes.
But what did they do? Well, I don't know. We might have to sue these guys.
Right.
I'm hearing a lot of noise about this old Tom Dundon. Why doesn't he come talk to me? And it's like, that was the worst approach you could have with a snake. Do you go up to a snake and try to startle it? No, because then it's going to cobra up on your ass. And now you're in this public negotiating battle with the media and council meetings. And it's annoying as all hell.
Yes.
And I'm not telling you to give Tom Dundon everything in the moon. But when we talked to that guy in Raleigh, What did he say? When Tom Dundon got to Raleigh, there was a natural fear that, oh, the Hurricanes are leaving. And the city council or the Bicentennial Council or whatever it's called
in Raleigh.
The group
that runs the arena.
That runs the arena, which, by the way, was built really close to the same time as the Moda Center. Age-wise, was about the same age. and the city council with a new owner came in and said, or the council that runs it said, yeah, we got to renovate it. We've had the building for years. We need to renovate. It's really old.
Yeah.
They didn't have this public posturing, let's attack Tom Dundon before having a conversation with him. So, again, not trying to defend Tom Dundon and the Blazers because I think they've had some jackassery here.
Without a doubt.
But I also think you set the tone at the beginning. Instead of being open-armed and saying, oh, the district in Carolina is actually thriving around the Hurricanes.
Right.
We need some thriving business wins. Let's welcome the dude from Texas in. It was instant pushback because Tommy Two Nickels or El Cheapo is making decisions for the organization and politicians are feeling bothered by him.
Yeah, it's just, both sides are at fault for the position that we're in right now. And we have, if you've been listening at length, called out each side equally, probably more so the city side than the Blazers side, because they, to your point, are the ones that set this off on an off track from the very beginning of this sale going through, when those in the Blazers thought that when Adam Silver came to town and they all met with the governor and the mayor and everybody, they thought that they had basically a deal in place. And the city has said, not so fast. We need to iron out more of these details. And it slowed everything down.
Mm-hmm.
So that all of this is true and both sides are at fault. I just, when I watched the snippets yesterday, it just felt like we're arguing over something that doesn't necessarily need to be argued over. Now, you can contend, to your point, that the city councilors are the whole reason we're arguing this in the first place. Not even councilors, I should say, one. It's Steve Novick was the only one who floated the idea of the lawsuit. And if they don't float that idea publicly, is this even a sticking point? Is it a debate? I don't know. Maybe the Blazers still bring it up because that threat is still out there and they've clearly read through the lease with their lawyers.
Yeah.
So the city, you can make the argument, is the reason we're in the position. But the Blazers yesterday arguing, one, on taxes that don't exist, this idea that we could get sued when every assurance is that we're not going to sue you and we don't have the votes to sue you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the mayor. I'm Keith Wilson. I'm not going to sue you. I have to sign off on suing you.
Yes.
None of this is going to happen.
Yes.
And they continued to say, we can't continue to move forward with this until that threat is removed. And the city's not going to remove that threat, again, because it's the only ounce of leverage they have in this entire thing. So what I continue to go back to is to point out that on August 12th, we're going to get a vote on the MOU. And if they vote in yes of the money being spent, now we got to figure out where it's all coming from. What are the detailed parts of the plan? Do we have union workers? What's the tax? Like, there's still a lot of details to figure out. That is the next big ball to drop that we're looking forward to. And if we get that yes vote on the MOU on August 12th, and the week before that, we get the county saying, here's your full whatever their commitment is, $90 million ballpark. That is a absolute great step in the right direction towards resolving this issue, getting back to sanity and talking about things that actually matter and impact us as sports
fans. I think it's great because you'll say, okay, everything's in lockstep with having dollars readily available. The next step is actually not going to be fun either. Because I really hope to God I'm wrong on this, because I'd love for them to say, here's the $575 million. And they go, great, thanks, sign it, boom, 20 years. All right, start renovating slowly in the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love that. I think you got sticking points to still that they're going to get real contentious about.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. August to December is not going to be just smooth sailing.
It's certainly not.
It will be a great step of, and this is what has been echoed and what I took away from watching the entire county meeting last week,
mm-hmm.
is the state senator and many others insinuating, if the city, state, and county step up to the plate and deliver what they're supposed to deliver, which at the end of the day is what? It's the do-re-mi.
Yeah.
Here are the dollars for the renovation that they have all contended that Adam Silver has told them behind closed doors that he will help push this thing to the finish line.
Yeah.
You just got to step up and say, here's the money. Yeah. And signing the MOU is an agreement on the amount of money you're giving for the renovation. And so that is there. Now, to your point, yes. Are there union workers?
Well, did you catch Hankins in that yesterday?
I did, yeah.
He said they just negotiated with one of the labor unions.
He said that they have union workers already there,
yeah.
And so that's not a...
They just came to an agreement with
one of them. End all, be all, but they don't want all employees to be union employees. That's a different thing, and you're talking about... Like,
that's a fighting point.
That's a fighting point that you're going to have to... But again, it gets back to just say, here's the money, now let's figure it out. And I think that's where the NBA says, okay, let's stop being stupid here. You got $600 million to renovate this arena. There's not that big of a difference between the two sides. Let's come to an agreement on this. Some side you agree on, the Blazers will still have the leverage in those negotiations,
mm-hmm.
and say some of this will be they're unwilling to move on, and that's fine. Just ultimately get a deal done. MOU, sign it. I'll take that as a great sign of progress. And ultimately, like, not watching the entire thing yesterday, I did view that yesterday as like, man, I was nice to at least see them meet, come together,
yeah,
public testimony, yep, and, you know, names and faces, quotes.
Want to get a deal done.
Want to get a deal done was uttered a million times the entire time. And so there is still a big gap and divide between the two sides. That is 100% accurate. My point is we have a longer time frame to figure that out than August 12th. You just got to say yes on August 12th. Whoa. Then we can figure it out.
I was going through, Freeman did what we've kind of been doing, but he wrote it out. He wrote out the Blazers, if they were leaving, where they go, and he maps out every city you can think of, and then like says why, and then says why not.
Right.
And it was just funny to read how many why nots, and you're like, yeah, that's the why not's bigger than the why. The why not's bigger than the why. And Kansas City's mayor came out and was like, we're always ready for
business. We're a big league city.
You guys are on the hook for $1.8 billion. You got another stadium you're trying to keep with the Kansas City Royals.
You're building a new Chiefs stadium and Royals stadium.
Guess what's 20 years old? Their arena.
Yes, it's going to need a renovation.
So at Kansas City's always the one, and we had our Kansas City guy, and then they went through St. Louis, and then Freeman correctly pointed out how truly Portland's not doing great in a lot of ways. I think it's not as bad, but there's a lot of elements of Portland
without
that need to
doubt,
be improved.
Dude.
There's not a doubt in my mind. But he pointed out St. Louis. It's like,
you think things are going great there?
Yeah, Portland's bad. Yeah. St. Louis is
kind
of struggling
right now.
Maybe step
out of your bubble for a moment and realize there's a lot of cities that are going through that right now.
It's a little bit. So, I just continue to lean back on calling it out, balls and strikes. If I feel the Blazers are not doing something in good faith, I'm going to call that out. If it's the city.
Yeah.
I'm not concerning myself mentally with the idea of them leaving, and haven't gone there. I'm not going there. Yeah. And I thought yesterday, to your point, largely I'm encouraged. They sat down together. They were in the room. They're both publicly talking. We got an idea what the Blazers are thinking now instead of just reading about it through Orem or Quick or whoever.
Right.
And I think that's good and important. And we heard the term, just want to get the deal done. City and the mayor made it abundantly clear, yeah, we want to get this done too. Get closer to 20-year lease agreement.
Yeah, I'm with you there. As we wrap up this conversation, I do want to pivot into some college football conversation. Last note on it that I have, I saw somebody tweet this yesterday, and I thought, I've made this argument before, it makes me chuckle. You just mentioned some things that is getting murmured about behind the scenes from a business standpoint from the Blazers over the last handful of years, especially when Jody owned the team, right? And maybe not all having all of their ducks
just
in a row.
Murmurs I've been hearing, yeah.
From a financial standpoint, I will continue to reiterate this. Who is still a 20% owner of the team?
The Vulcans.
The Vulcans, okay. Yeah. Who just made $4 billion on the sale of the team?
The Vulcan Estate.
Got it. Where is that money supposed to go?
Charity.
Charity, philanthropic reasons. Yeah. What was something that Paul Allen was very passionate about? The Trailblazers being in Portland and owning a team in the Pacific Northwest.
Are you telling the Blazers count as a charity?
I'm saying you just made $4 billion. We're haggling over $120 million. You know who could do this and say this is all over in a heartbeat?
Well, they gave the arena for a dollar. That was their charity.
That's how quick it would take. Yeah. That's it.
Well,
out of the goodness of her heart.
It's not going to happen.
Because she was a saint and she did everything that was required to be a great owner.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. She could stroke a check in 10 seconds.
Well, also the Seahawks just got sold.
Yes. And all of that money has to be used for
price.
Philanthropic reasons. That does not count collecting penguin bones, okay? You can use these things for good purposes. One of them being keeping your brother's beloved franchise in the Portland Trailblazers in the city that they belong in. And we're haggling over $100 million. I saw somebody bring that up and I thought it's a good point.
I don't know. I can't tell you what the future of the business operations of the Blazers is. Under Tom Dundon, you can think it's not going to be good because he's Tommy Two Nickels. You can think it's going to be great, whatever. What I can tell you is some of the business stuff, it's a bit far-fetched for me. Not that there isn't, business struggles in our city.
Of course there
More
is.
More like having the only team in the entire association without like a jersey patch. We joked about that yesterday, right?
Yeah, I've seen our guy Gunderson bring that up of like this idea you couldn't find a sponsor is ludicrous.
He's very right on that. Who just sponsored Notre Dame for 20 mil?
SoFi did.
Is SoFi now, based in South Bend, Indiana? Are they run by a bunch of Notre Dame alums?
Like not to
maybe
my knowledge.
A couple. I don't know, but SoFi Stadium is in Los Angeles.
Yes, it is.
Notre Dame's a brand. They bought a brand. Did we not get a jersey sponsor because, the local economy's just such dog crap? Or because
right.
You didn't actively try as hard as you could?
How do we not have a Chinese company buying that? We got a crazy amount of viewers in China. How do we not have a Chinese company sponsoring that patch? One good thing would come out of Young Hansen.
The business for the organization's not been good. That much has been... It was made abundantly clear yesterday when he said they've lost $1 billion.
Yeah.
and then also made abundantly clear when Tom Dundon came in and fired a bunch of people, and it got written about how bad they were doing in business.
Right, they're not bringing in
money.
We heard
from people at our golf tournament that are like pretty high up on their business chain ladder telling us how awful a partner they were.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, and I'm not telling you we're like 300 section company here.
Right.
We had really primo seats, and they were terrible awful as a partner. So, like, the business side of this isn't just the city. It also, the organization has to get their S together and start maybe taking it a little more seriously than they have.
Take it as a sign of good progress. Meeting happened. Words were spoken. Common ground in some ways was found.
Is your DEFCON still 3?
still at 3. I'm still at 3.
You're not changing like the fire report? Danger, real danger, no danger.
The terror alert. Is there an election coming up? Do I need to go to terror threat orange?
You're very encouraged by yesterday, right?
For the most part.
So you don't move back to DEFCON 4 like
that's
not going to happen?
That's a good point. The Blazers showed up. I'll allow it. Let me move back to 4.
Great.
Water's warm with you. Let's jump in the bathtub together.
Good to know.
What? That was weird.
What are we doing here?
I took a bath with you. I'm Bert.
Did you take a bath with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a rubber ducky guy?
You're much more of an Ernie.
Are you a bubbles guy?
I don't mind bubbles.
You like some bath salts too?
Bath salts are good.
Bath salts are good.
Feels good on the body.
It does. We have a new anthem. One guy talking that talk, and another guy says, hey, you better pony up or I'm getting the hell out of here. Let's check in on college football next on The Fan. All right, we'll dive back into some NFL football in the final hour of the show. It is a Football Friday. Why the hell not?
It's a Football Friday. We're into Football Fridays now.
It's
the earliest we've started Football Friday?
Yeah, I just said screw it. It's Football Friday.
Okay.
I'm ready.
You don't want to keep arguing about city council members and billionaire funding?
I don't. I'm done with that. I can't wait for that story to die.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Brings out some pretty bad stuff. Anyways, before we get to that, we need to talk some college football first.
Oh, before we get to the NFL,
we got to start with the amateurs / pros.
I mean.
And then the pros. Ready?
Did you hear the devastating news yesterday? The UFL decided to remove the Houston-based football team.
Didn't Dundon kill the UFL?
No, you're thinking of the AAFL, I think.
AFLAC?
Yeah,
got
basically.
It.
Yeah,
okay.
The UFL is a spring league.
The Houston team, they lost their team
Houston
in Houston?
Houston lost their team.
How will they recover? Would they rebuild?
I don't know. There's talks of getting a different team in a slightly higher league that people could pay attention to in the next couple months. I don't know.
I'll give you a take. Yeah. I'd actually be upset if we got a UFL team.
I was upset when we got the Portland Trout.
Yeah.
What were the names?
The Portland Trout's actually not that bad of a name.
It's a pretty terrible name.
Portland Trout? It's better than the Thunder.
A Steelhead.
It was a Steel.
With a Steelhead?
Which is Steel.
Was it just
first
steel?
It was the Thunder.
But it was Steel, S-T-E-E-L, right? Like steelhead fish? I think it was.
I thought, yeah.
Or is it the Steel? What are we doing
steel.
Here?
Steel. Are we stealing from it? We'll steal the ball. Turnover.
I got upset when we got that. I was like, what a dumb thing to get.
This is stupid. Don't give me fake football.
Yeah.
Anyways, are you ready for the anthem? This is the damn anthem. Throw your damn hands up. Are you ready?
This is the anthem for what?
This is the official ESPN.
Oh.
College football anthem.
Post Malone again.
You were going to hear this 8.7 million times.
Are we jelly rolling?
It's Shaboozy.
Over the next couple of months.
It's what?
Shaboozy.
That's
Are
the
you
name
ready?
Of the song?
Are you ready
no,
to meet?
No, that's the artist.
Shaboozy?
Are you ready to meet Shaboozy?
I've never heard of Shaboozy.
Yeah, you
ready
have.
To get your shaboos on?
Everybody's in the bar getting tipsy.
Oh, that guy's name is Shaboozy?
That's his name.
You ready? You ready? You ready to learn something? You going to learn today, Sprank? Here's your anthem.
Okay.
Waited for this for a long time.
The momentum that can be generated here.
College football is the greatest, and we're about to show the entire world why.
What a scene. What a scene.
You are built for this.
Trying to knock me off my feet, still standing with more money than I can risk. Took a loss, but I'm still looking in, man, because I'm already feeling this bit.
How good is it to have fallback?
You got the juices flowing?
A national championship awaits.
Devil I know. Tell him he can get it back and go. Meet at high noon. I'm gonna shut it down. Everything we do it loud.
And it's over. My goodness.
Tell him bring another round.
I think this is gonna.
Oh, it's all in, baby.
This one has become
What do we think?
You cut it off with 35 seconds left, so I think that tells me all I need to know.
I mean, I was vibing to it. I was
feeling the least excited for a song we've played in like 4 years.
That is Shaboozy and Gunna Gunna. Is that my saying that correctly? I am familiar with Shaboozy.
I don't think you should be saying it that way.
I'm not high. I don't know. Gunna. Is that what his name is?
You're saying it the whitest possible way you can.
Gunna Gunna. How do I say it not white? Give me the not white pronunciation.
Gunna Gunna.
Gunna Gunna. Is that better? Am
How
I not white anymore?
G-U-N-N-A?
G-U-N-N-A.
Twice.
G-U-N-N-A. Gunna. Gunna. Is that better?
A little better.
High Noon is the name of the song. That is your anthem
But he did
football.
The Tipsy song. Why didn't they just do that? That's literally what every fan base does.
That is a valid point.
Were we afraid of promoting alcohol during our commercial breaks when Bud Light's on the commercial?
They don't want to promote gambling on ESPN. They're against that. Gambling and alcohol.
Welcome into Alabama, where they sit a 7.5-point dog according to DraftKings.
Last year it was Jelly Roll, and this year it is Shaboozy and Gunna Gunna.
I mean, you know, it does it for some people.
That didn't do it for me.
If you're going to do a song, you
When was the last time they had one that did something for you? Do you remember?
I didn't mind Jelly Rolls.
The Imagine Dragon one was pretty good. It just got overplayed.
Post Malone's was good.
Which Post Malone song was it? Do you remember?
I can't remember the name of the song.
Is this pre-country
era? It's got the
era?
Choir in it. No, yeah, it was pre...
Pre-country era?
He has the choir in
okay.
it.
Okay, I'm not familiar with his pre-country work.
The Give Me Something I Can...
I only know him as a country music artist.
You'd have to find it. That's all I got. Song.
That's where we're at.
The
right
Post
now.
Malone one was good because when you do a song, you got to have a really good hook.
Yes, the hook matters.
That was the beginning of a song.
Yeah.
And it's just that it takes a minute.
People are
roll out for me.
People are opining for the Coming to Your City being brought back for game day because they don't do that anymore. Somebody tweeted yesterday. It was like, this should have won a Grammy. Or not a Grammy, but an Oscar. How did this guy have won an Oscar? Yeah, give it an Oscar. The video, Coming to Your City.
I think you mean Grammy.
No, it's the video. It's the lead in the tease. They're in your city, buddy.
All right.
Do you know what Indiana has? They got a big target on their back, man.
A big trophy.
They do have a big trophy, too. They are the defending national champions, and Kurt Cignetti says, target? I got an answer for that.
How are you going to handle being the hunted now that you're at the top? It's like now you've got a big target on your back.
I bought a bigger gun.
Ooh, that's like a great answer.
I also like that
we kind of passed
over
it.
You just won the championship again. Like, you're going to win again with an answer like that. Yeah.
We passed over it, but when we were talking about you winning and you just, like, you kind of mumbled under your breath, like, we win. That's what we did. We win. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, it's just coursing through your veins, winning.
I mean, I believe in our blueprint plan process and the way we go about doing things and our ability to get everybody to think alike and perform to a standard. It's worked in the past, and I don't see any reason it shouldn't work again.
Why would I shake it up now?
You just won a national championship. Yeah. Don't change anything, buddy. That is one of the best coach answers. He was hilarious yesterday.
It was great. He was the one of the media days, I thought, that kind of won the whole thing.
I mean, he should. He won the national championship. Like, you're the king of the sport right now. He's always talked
the right things, I thought. You know?
That's why he was the closing act.
Yeah, exactly.
You save him for last, right? He's the finisher.
Dan's jealous, I think.
Without a doubt he is. Without a doubt.
He thought all year, he's like, I had to go whoop their ass.
I got all these great quotes.
And Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush ain't walking out that tunnel.
It's a Trojan funeral. We're wearing black for a funeral.
And then Cignetti said, you suck.
Buy a bigger gun.
Dude, that is one of the funnier lines I've ever heard. Like, off the cuff for a coach, you got a bigger target on your back. Well, you usually get expectations. You got to handle it.
That comes with the territory, blah, blah, blah.
The immediate, before the question is even out of the mouth, I got a bigger gun. Is such a good answer.
You know what's better than Shaboozy? Kurt Cignetti saying, I got a bigger gun.
Should he just be the whole teaser for college football, just him giving a motivational speech with a wink? That's kind of how the video game works for anybody who's played it. He had some other stuff to say, so here he is. One of the bigger questions on Indiana about this season, they had the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback last year. Fernando Mendoza was outstanding for them, went number one overall. Hit the portal, you bring in the furry himself. Is he dressed up like an animal right now? I don't know, but here's Kurt Cignetti on his new quarterback.
Josh Hurst won a lot of football games, thrown for a lot of yards, a lot of touchdown passes. He has an innate ability to play the position of quarterback, kind of a natural passer, very accurate, processes very quickly. You know, the things we'll ask him to do are different than the things TCU asked him to do. We're not going to put the ball in his hand and say go out and win the game and outscore people. You know, we're going to give him a run game, a defense, and special teams, and every once in a while on third down, a punt's a positive play. All the one-year quarterbacks have followed the same line. and I expect him to as well. And I think this team's got a lot of nice pieces.
He's saying we're not putting it on him. The issue, remember, Sonny Dykes had the comments in the offseason, his former coach at TCU. So he turned the ball over a lot. We're looking forward to have a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over. And so that's, again, Cignetti kind of hearkening back to, well, he's not our entire team like he was at TCU. We got a good offensive line. We can run the ball. And, oh, by the way, our defense is pretty solid. In 2 full years as a starter, I think that's what he ended up. He had basically 2.5 years at TCU. He threw 33 interceptions, 9 as a sophomore, 11 as a junior, 13 last year. And so he has had a lot of turnovers. But to Cignetti's point, you're not going to be asked to do as much here in Indiana.
I mean, there is no grandiose opinion takeaway here. There just isn't. You can argue with a wall if you want to. Nobody had the opinion that for Fernando Mendoza at 100-1 was going to win the Heisman. They were going to go undefeated and win the national championship.
He was a good little player at Cal because we saw him on the West Coast, but never thought that's what it'll turn into.
When he went there, it was a footnote. It wasn't, oh my God, they got the best player in the portal and he's going to be the best quarterback in the nation. Yeah. We didn't have that conversation. So turnover problems at TCU. Sure. He's with Kurt Cignetti in Indiana. I don't know if he'll match Fernando Mendoza's kind of special-esque kind of nature he had last year, but I'm just going to trust what their process and their situation is and assume that he's very, very good.
Nick Marsh is going to help that, too. He's just they got him in the portal as well. Last one from the old Sig there at Indiana. This whole Big Ten SEC debate will not end, and the SEC, look how hard it is. 9 games, we've got to play it now. Big Ten saying, hey, man, we got 3 of these things in a row. Here is Kurt Cignetti with kind of the final nail in the coffin on the debate.
The Big Ten is the best league in football. And a lot of really good football teams. It's hard to win on the road. Very physical football teams, very well coached. It definitely prepares you for the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. The numbers speak for themselves. I mean, we don't run a hype machine up here in the Midwest. We believe everything's earned, not given. And when we fall short, we say we fell short. We don't cry a river, whine, and complain.
I thought Dan was going to have that line. I did.
I
thought he would at least say that. I know his season didn't end well, and he maybe wants to do a little prove it thing, but great line. He's spot on, and I love that. My takeaway from SEC Media Day was how whiny everybody already was. I thought Mandel had a good point of like, wait a minute. I thought the SEC told us that iron sharpens iron.
Now it's too hard.
And now 9 conference games. It's too hard.
Yeah, now iron's too sharp.
Hey, now it's, now your knife's stabbing my knife. I can't stab back.
We got knife on knife crime, man. That's not going to get it done. He is the ultimate king of the sport. You win a national championship at Indiana. That is what's going to happen. And certainly a big takeaway yesterday is that old Kurt Cignetti's feeling great about himself. He feels great about his team. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
You asked Adam Rittenberg a question earlier that I think is interesting because we get this every year in college football. It's not guaranteed that it's one of these teams.
No.
Because it doesn't have to just come from one conference. But the stat, I can't remember off the top of my head, but basically every year for 25 straight years, we've had a team start in the preseason top 10.
And not finish ranked.
Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, it is multiple teams that end up doing it. Florida State a couple of years ago. Clemson is a great example this last year. Penn State fired their coach halfway through the year. A lot of people had a Penn State-Clemson national championship last year. One went 7-5 and the other one fired their coach after a 3-3 start and a loss to Northwestern. Mm-hmm. You asked Adam Rittenberg, of the 3 atop the Big Ten, who is most likely to be the one that falls out of the conversation. Do you have an answer to that question?
You know, I thought his answer was interesting.
He said Ohio State was the first
Ohio
one.
He picked Ohio State because of schedule stuff.
And then he kind of insinuated that Indiana is another candidate, and then he said Oregon was not in his mind because of their talent.
The depth of Oregon, you can't argue against. Why can't it be Oregon? You know what I mean?
It could be anybody.
I feel like Jake Butt probably would have given a similar answer.
Yeah.
Because Jake Butt thinks Oregon has the best roster in the conference.
You cannot say it can't be us because we've seen nobody in their right mind. You could have said last year that Penn State won't win a national championship because James Franklin can't win big games. That's totally
fair.
They're
limited to a certain extent.
They'll be
right?
10-2 again. It's the same Penn. Like, that's fine. A lot of people probably predicted that. Nobody predicted them having the year that they had last year. We were talking about Cade Klubnik a year ago at this point as a guy who was going to be a first-round draft pick, a quarterback.
Him and Nussmeier were battling that out.
LSU was another top 10 team who fell out of the. This idea that it can't. Of course it could be. It could be anybody that falls out because complacency sets in. Maybe the coordinator hires don't work out, injuries pile up at a certain spot, next thing you know, boom, you're out of the top 25.
See, but those three, to me, he pointed to schedule. It has to be injury-based. If Oregon is the team, let's say you choose Oregon of the three, of they will fall out and somebody will replace them in the Big Ten and they will not be in the conversation. If it happens with non-injury stuff, it has to be just other guys didn't have the season you thought they'd have. The coordinators showed maybe that was a mistake.
Yeah.
Maybe the pressure of the whole thing with landing
this
season.
That's certainly a part of this, right? Like, you're coming in, it's championship or bust. We can disagree with the phrasing, but that's the expectation. That's a lot.
Their expectation. Landing's talking about how they're coaching themselves, like you've hired internally. There's all of the – Dante's like third or fourth in the Heisman category. It's not inconceivable to say a 9-3 season happens because you can cite Ohio State's schedule. Is Oregon's schedule just cupcakes?
It's not cupcakes, but they don't play a Texas on the road in non-conference. I think that's the argument for an Ohio State, is that if you drop the Texas game – They have to play Oregon.
You go to USC, and USC has been.
They go to USC,
and
I believe they go to Indiana too. Let me double check.
Oregon?
No, Oregon is not playing
Ohio
State.
I think
that was his Ohio State argument. So you got Texas in non-conference at Indy. They play at Indiana and at USC, and back to. Well, I know there's a bye in between, but back to back games.
I get it.
They have a 3-game stretch where they go Indiana, USC, Oregon, three games in a row for Ohio State.
And the three hardest games for Oregon's schedule are USC.
It'll be USC, Ohio State.
Either Michigan or Washington.
At home, yeah. Unless you believe in an Illinois.
Right, and Michigan.
They don't play Indiana this year.
Michigan's flying under the radar. I don't think people really buy them, but yet they got one of the more respected coaches in the last 20 years of college football.
I'm going to talk about him in a moment because he pissed some of his fans off yesterday.
He'd already given this opinion, but he didn't.
He had, but now it's vocalized again. Everybody's like, do you get it, man? You don't understand it, man.
I know we'll get to college football, but.
Yeah. Oh, what happened?
We've got legit breaking news.
What happened? Something big? Something good?
Good news for you.
What happened?
Maybe good news for other people.
What?
Adam Schefter. CBS has announced that Romo is on leave. J.J. Watt will be taking his place.
All about it. J.J. Watt's a solid in-game analyst. Our Sundays just got better.
Also, a follow-up. The police say there was an open bottle of booze in that car.
Ooh.
Yeah, I saw that report. There was an open container in the search.
I think CBS is doing what you've wanted them to do. I think this might be their chance to get out of that contract. Okay, we can finally pivot.
They paid him way too much money. He sucks. But J.J. Watt's great. I love me some J.J. Watt. He's been a nice addition to the booth. Can we get Greg Olsen out of Tom Brady jail? Can we get him back on the best game?
I kind of want Olsen to stay at Fox.
At number two, though? No. He doesn't get the biggest game. Like, how many of those Jim Nance, those Bills and Chiefs games?
How many games did Brady have to call that were better than Panthers-Packers? Because Olsen was on that game, and it was actually really good.
It's an all-time classic.
He's a Fox
guy.
That
is good breaking news right there. I like that. That's
good breaking news.
You didn't answer my question. Who's falling out of the top 10, Sprager?
If I had to pick the three?
If you had to bet on it.
Oregon.
Oh, spicy.
What are we doing here?
Nobody's giving you a chance.
I guess you do want to get throat punched this week, huh?
I'll scissor kick his gizzard.
What's the specific question?
Of the three at the top of the Big Ten, who is most likely to lay an egg?
If you had to choose between Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon.
The answer might be none. It probably will be none, but it's just a fun game. If you had to pick one of the three.
If you had to pick one.
I'll put bird feet on your bug zapper.
If I had to pick one this year, I think I would pick Indiana.
Cool. Keep betting against that guy. That's fun. That's worked out well.
And I think that's more about...
not a believer, huh?
I'm not a believer in Hoover.
Is it the furry in him?
I just...
What were your takes on Mendoza last year?
I was higher on Mendoza than Hoover. I thought Mendoza actually...
I thought we just watched more Mendoza because he was at Cal. Like, he played in the Pac-12. I remember him smoking Oregon State a couple of years ago, his first year as a starter.
Easy with the smoking.
Was it like 48-0 at halftime?
Part of that was our dealing.
Yeah,
we had turnovers. Fall, huh? I mean, it's high-style environment, Cal. Berkeley's crazy. Those fans, they show up every weekend.
Thought we were homies,
you don't know what it was like. You want me to pick Ohio State?
No, I want you to pick whatever you want.
You want me to bet against Kurt?
I'm going to put this up as a poll question. I'm curious where people go.
No, it's a stupid question.
Well, nobody's going to pick Oregon.
Nobody will pick Oregon in the audience.
Will everybody pick Indiana?
I think if people picked one, yeah, probably.
You think so?
Well, where are people at on Ryan Day? How much? You probably trust. I'll say this. This is crazy. I might pick Oregon.
Yeah.
Swag picks Indiana. I wonder if you did the coaches, who's trusted the least? I still really believe
it's probably Ryan Day, even though he's got a title,
has way too many people that don't believe in him as a coach. And Lanning's the one that's ended the season in a thud.
He has. By that coach!
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
By both of those coaches!
It doesn't make any sense.
All right. More college football, including a coach in the Northwest, comments about his NIL situation, some scheduling stuff, and Kyle Whittingham pissing off his new fan base. Next on The Fan. Welcome back to our 80s murders mystery. Or maybe we're time traveling in a DeLorean. I don't know what we're doing. But
I have a Nintendo football game. Is this for the theme music?
Yeah, okay, that sounds good. I felt like we were going to the Mac basketball game of the week or something like that.
My aunt had a football game on Nintendo, and I used to play it, not as much as Mario, because it was actually terrible gameplay.
Was it the Bill Walsh game? Didn't Bill Walsh have a game back in the day?
No, it wasn't.
Wasn't he the first one of the first ones other than Tecmo Bowl?
It was one of those you couldn't have the team name, I think.
Mm. Fake football game kind of thing?
So everything was the city?
Yeah, it'd be like San Francisco, red and gold. Yeah.
Right, but not 49ers.
Versus Minnesota, purple and gold.
Like how the college game used to be without player names in it, but it's a quarterback. He's number 8, and he plays for Oregon. Who could it be?
I used to play it, and I remember I stopped playing it, and I was like, this game sucks.
That feels like the intro screen when you're like, press X if you're ready to play. Ba, ba, ba. Good times. We got some good new music on the show. Let's head up north, shall we? You ready to head up north?
Yeah.
Before we play the audio, I'll read you a quote. And this comes from our dear friend.
Did you post a poll question yet?
I have not. Sorry, I will do that here. After
I'll post it.
Okay,
you go ahead. I'll post it.
Here is the Jed Fish quote given to Dave Softy Mahler. Should I read it in Softy's voice? Should I do it that way or just read it normally?
Real quick, before you read it in Softy's voice, I text this in the group chat.
You did.
Because I don't think he said this on air. And
no, this
did,
was a side conversation with Softy.
But it was on the record, so he put it out there. What was your initial thought when you read it?
I mean, anything in negative Washington, it makes me laugh. So that was my initial reaction, was laughing at them. But he's also not wrong. So here's the quote. Dave Softy Mahler up in Seattle asked Jed Fish at Big Ten Media Days, is the program where it needs to be NIL-wise? Softy said, before I even finished asking, he said no. No, we are not. We're not close to where we need to be if we want to have consistent success on the national stage in the top 20 to 25 programs. I don't think anyone wants to be in the 30s and 40s when it comes to NIL. We need more. Now, the duck side of me laughs at that because I hope Washington loses literally everything they ever do. And so, ha-ha, you poor bastards. What happened to Steve Ballmer walking around your facility? The college football mind in me says he's 100% right. You cannot ask to outperform the NIL contributions on a year-in and year-out basis. And as long as you were spending in that range, those are the levels of the wins and loss expectation that you should have at the end of the season. This, to me, maybe I'm reading too much into it. I'll be curious what your thoughts were. This would have been a giant red flag if I'm a Jed Fish fan. Now, maybe you're not a Jed Fish fan. You're like, whatever, dude, leave if you want to.
I don't think there's Jed Fish fans. I think you're just a UW fan.
Sure. If you care about him staying long term, I guess is the way I would phrase it, this would have been a red flag to me. This is almost like the whole Dundon Arena stuff. Like, this is the groundwork of like, see, I didn't have the resources I needed. See you later. People make this insinuation about Dillingham at ASU all the time because he brings this stuff up constantly. I don't mind coaches asking for more money and asking for more resources because you desperately need it. He's just been a guy who's had a bit of a wandering eye. There's been the thought behind the scenes that he just never really wanted to be in Seattle in the first place. And now you're bitching about how much money you're making, or how much money your team's making. That would be the alarm bell going off for me, but he's not wrong.
I kind of feel for the Husky fans who, this is year three for him, right?
He's going into year three.
I mean, the minute he was hired, it's been nothing but you either talk about the team and what the record is, or what is it?
Right.
Jed Fish.
Is he going to leave?
Florida job.
Yeah.
Right? It's usually about him leaving.
He was a hot name until they lost to Wisconsin when their punter was a leading passer.
And I, you know, I don't want to pretend that I think he's going to be there for 20 years, but when I read this quote, you know, you're just straight up calling out your university and your alums is what you're doing with that quote. And
yes,
we know that they financially, they're dealing with it. They're in debt. They're losing money year by year. Their NIL money went to a terrible basketball team.
Yes.
And an okay football team. Good year, but not like amazing. I mean, he's kind of, in my opinion, I hate making it the conversation because I actually think he said some good stuff about the sport.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment.
Found myself agreeing with him in some ways. I hope he brings them back because you can hate him as much as you want. It sucks when this team is a three-win team, a four-win team, a six-win team. You want this team to be good to make it more interesting for the sport.
Speak for yourself.
That's okay. You can feel that way.
Yeah.
But I have that opinion. And yesterday I saw this quote. I could not help but say, this is a guy that if they win eight games or less this year, absolutely could see him leaving. Now, where does he go? You can name a handful of college jobs that might open up, that might want him. I'd also say, can we not look past the NFL? His wife and kids live in Arizona.
Yeah.
He was Arizona tan yesterday, not Seattle summer tan.
Right.
So I'm not saying he's not in Seattle. I'm just saying I think he's at Arizona a lot, visiting family, going back between with the bird. They're coming up to visit because the weather's finally nice up there. There's just a lot. There's always been a lot of red flags about this. That quote for me is like, yeah, he's just openly calling out how piss poor
this is what you have to do.
Their NIL is. And in a weird way, he's also kind of set up now the easy excuse if they disappoint this season.
Right, we didn't spend enough.
Which wow, I went wouldn't 7-5 blame him for pointing to that.
Yeah, if you want to win more games, spend more money. They had the report that they spent $44 million in NIL through the Montlake's future, whatever that they've now shut down. Christian Capel had that report a week or two ago, and we brought that up on the show. It's unique. The other thought I have quickly, and then I want to play some of his stuff. We'll start the final hour with that and then get to some NFL stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The other difficulty, when you're in that range of spending, like I think Dillingham was kind of this 2 years ago at ASU, like he hit on the right collection of players. He's also in a more winnable conference. That's the other difficult part. Like if you're spending at this level at Washington, you're never going to be in the same conversation as Oregon, Ohio State, and Indiana.
That's
you're just not. And even you can make an argument USC at this point, who just had the number one recruit class in the
you're
country.
You're not doing Michigan.
Michigan is like
Indiana
you're just,
now.
You're not the same.
No.
You're in that next tier of programs. And if you want to break through and your financial resources are not there for you, I think you need some sort of elite tangible in your head coach. And that's the other part of Jed Fish that, like, he's a good offensive mind. Players who have played for it. We talked to our guy Jake Butterly this week. He played under Jed Fish in his time at Michigan.
Yeah.
Like, people have very positive things to say about him. He's also not a guy that, like, as a play caller, I go into the game and I think, oh, God, how are we going to stop this? Like, there's not a fear factor there. And so that's the other,
an option to the short side of the field.
That's the double-edged sword of, like, he's not getting the full resources. I don't think he's a brilliant enough mind to overcome those resources.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of stuck in this, like.
But if you had Jimmy's and Joe's that you could afford.
Well, then he, but
then
without a doubt.
Better.
Because people will make that argument for Lanning, and it's totally fair. That's the whole point, though, is that you're not going to get the Jimmys and Joes unless you're spending at that level. And then it becomes a more serious recruiting battle. You get a player here or there. They got a lineman who's a freshman who's going to start right away at tackle this year. Like, there's optimism in certain positions. It just, I don't know. I don't blame him for saying this stuff. It does reek of, if there is a bad year, I have this to kind of lean on, and also I might have a wandering eye.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not. Maybe he's in Seattle long term. But very honest with Softy yesterday. You mentioned some of the other comments that he made about college football as a whole. I want to play some of the other stuff. We have some Sam Levitt audio to get to. Kyle Whittingham pissing off his fan base. Also, does he have faith in his quarterback? We'll start the final hour with some college football and then pivot to the NFL, where there's some great stuff about a former Oregon State player and a contract situation gone awry. Loaded final hour on a Football Friday next, 105.1 FM The Fan.